Morning, everyone. Right, don't be alarmed, don't be confused. We did just read from Acts chapter 17, but we are actually in a series on 1 Thessalonians. So what I want you to do is I want you to close your Bible in Acts, and I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, because what Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is he talks about the events that we just read about in Acts 17. 1 Thessalonians 2 is where we're at, and that's what will be helpful to have open in front of you. I'm going to pray. God, our Father, thank you for speaking to us clearly. Thanks that you love to speak to us. As we read this section of 1 Thessalonians, please help us to clearly hear the good news of Jesus. Amen. This bit of 1 Thessalonians reminds me of Dietrich Mateschitz. You may or may not know who Dietrich Mateschitz was. He actually died just a couple of weeks ago. But back in the early 1980s, he was a toothpaste salesman. He did not really enjoy his job as a toothpaste salesman, but as a toothpaste salesman, he made a trip to Thailand to sell toothpaste there. While he was there in Thailand, he bought a local drink called Krating Dayeng. He really liked this drink. He thought it was the bee's knees. He actually liked it so much that he decided he was going to quit his job as a toothpaste salesman, and instead he was going to sell this drink all over the world. He thought everyone is going to love this. So he did. He quit his job. He invested $500,000 for the recipe for this drink. He made some changes, some tweaks to the recipe. He gave it a new name. And then finally, it was time, after a couple of years' work, it was time to see what everybody thought, to do some testing. So he got some people to taste it. Here's the feedback he got. It's disgusting. Leaves my mouth feeling sticky. It's got a really stupid name. Now, at that point, you have to think that visit to Thailand was an absolute disaster. But it wasn't. Let me tell you why that visit to Thailand wasn't a failure. That drink was Red Bull energy drink. And Mateschitz, when he died a few weeks ago, he was worth tens of billions of dollars because of Red Bull energy drink. Which brings us back to 1 Thessalonians, because Paul visited Thessalonica. It was a visit, you may have noticed in that part of Acts that we read, it was a visit that looked like a complete disaster. He went there not to sell toothpaste, he went there to share the gospel. He was there just 3 weeks before the locals tried to attack him, chased him out of town. It looked for all money like it was a total failure, but it wasn't. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul's going to tell us why. Paul's going to tell us why this visit was not a failure, why it was actually a success. Now, it's going to be helpful for us because we here, we've heard the same gospel that Paul was sharing in Thessalonica. And we want to share that same gospel with our friends and our family here in Bathurst. And Jesus is still on a mission to save people and rescue people with that same gospel. So there's lots for us to learn here, and there's lots of encouragement to be gained here as we share the gospel and as we hear the gospel. And in fact, sharing the gospel and hearing the gospel, those are the two reasons Paul says his visit to Thessalonica wasn't a failure, because he shared the gospel well, and because the Thessalonians heard the gospel well. So let's see how Paul talks about Jesus, how he shares the gospel. Let's see how that might encourage us as we talk about Jesus. So chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 1, Paul says, "You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, our coming to you was not in vain." Let's pause there. That's the big claim of this chapter. The visit we read about in Acts 17, not in vain, not a failure. Let's keep reading and see why. Our coming to you is not in vain. Though we'd already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. This visit wasn't a failure, Paul says, because he and Silas shared the gospel boldly, even in much conflict. And he's talking about the conflict we read about in Acts 17. They arrived in Thessalonica. 3 weekends, they went to the synagogue, they told people how Jesus died, how Jesus rose again, and then the Jewish leaders got jealous. They rounded up some local lowlifes, they stirred up a riot, they tried to attack Paul and Silas, they couldn't find them, so instead they attacked Jason, basically forced a bribe out of him. Still not safe for Paul and Silas, though. This three-week-old church in Thessalonica had to help them escape under cover of darkness. It doesn't really scream success, does it? I mean, imagine this, right? Imagine this. Here at BPC, we are planning to send Luke and Tonya off to Southeast Asia next year. Just imagine Luke and Tonya, they get there and everyone hates them. They share Jesus for 3 weeks and then they're physically attacked. And then because of them being there, the local Christians there end up being attacked as well. And then with their lives in grave danger, they have to fly back home again after just 3 weeks. Do you think we'd all give ourselves a pat on the back and say, yeah, that went well? What a disaster. I reckon we'd be feeling pretty awful after something like that. Pretty conflicted and confused and more than a bit disappointed. Paul says, though, his visit to Thessalonica was not in vain. It wasn't a waste of time. And here's why: they shared the gospel boldly. If we're sharing the gospel here in Bathurst, I think it's probably pretty unlikely that we're going to get attacked for it. But maybe there's been times you've shared Jesus and it didn't go very well. You kind of wonder, was it worth it? Or was that a bit of a failure? Maybe you've brought up Jesus with family and it's just made things awkward. You might have shared the gospel with friends and it didn't seem to really go anywhere. They didn't really care. Maybe you've been trying really hard to talk about Jesus at work, but you just can't find the right context for that conversation. Maybe every time you've been open with your friends, with people about being a Christian, every time you do that, it seems like someone claiming to be a Christian gets on the news for doing something really awful. And every time it happens, you think, is this worth it? Am I wasting my time? By Paul's measure, if you're sharing Jesus boldly, that's never a failure. By Paul's measure, it's a mark of gospel success. Now, if Paul and Silas had arrived in Thessalonica, discovered that nobody liked them, so they kept their mouths shut and left the next day, yeah, that would have been a waste of time. But it wasn't, because Paul and his mates shared the gospel boldly. And also because they shared the gospel honestly. Paul says next that there was a real integrity to the way that they shared Jesus. They were bold, but they weren't taking advantage of anyone. They weren't making things up. The gospel of Jesus is from God, and so they spoke to please God. That's what Paul says in verse 3. Have a look. He says, our appeal doesn't spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please humans, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Now, we live in a world from, you know, politicians to phone scammers. We live in a world of people who tell lies, half-truths, cherry-picked facts to serve their own purposes. Their purposes are usually popularity or power or money. That's what they want. Not Paul. If that's what Paul had been doing in Thessalonica, then yeah, his visit to them would have been a write-off. But he wasn't. He was open and he was honest. No deception, no lies. He told the truth. It was all about Jesus. who lived and who died, Jesus who is risen and now King. Paul wasn't there to butter people up. He was there to help them know Jesus. So if you're sharing Jesus, if you're, I don't know, maybe you're planning to invite someone along to Christmas carols with us in December, or planning to invite someone here to join us on Christmas Day to hear the gospel. Maybe there's people you can think of who you're hoping to invite to Summerfest in January. Or look, maybe you're just going to meet a non-Christian at one of those three things. There's a good chance that could happen. When that happens, when you talk with that person about Jesus, please be encouraged to just be straightforward with them. Be unashamed, be open, be clear, be honest. Because we can't trick anyone into being saved. And of course, we don't want to trick anyone into being saved. We want them to know Jesus, to genuinely know Jesus. If Paul and Silas had been dishonest, their visit would have been a waste of time. But it wasn't. They were bold, they were honest, and they were gentle. Paul says they were like a good parent who treats their child with love and affection and care. Have a look at what he says in verse 6. He says, "We didn't seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. And so, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you'd become very dear to us." Paul is like, I remember when we had very young kids, Claire would get up time after time during the night. And no matter how many times she got woken up, she never got annoyed. She never got angry. I got annoyed and cranky, but Claire didn't. The affection, the love, and the care she gave of herself to our children. That's what Paul is saying he's been like. If Paul and Silas had been harsh or demanding, their trip would have been a failure. But they weren't. They were like a loving parent. Have a look at what he says in verse 9. He says, "You remember, brothers and sisters, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You're witnesses in God also how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Now Paul says he was like a good dad, not being a burden to them, but encouraging them, laboring to provide for them. So if you're sharing Jesus with someone, don't stop loving them. It's a good thing to love them. It can be hard work to love someone. I mean, just ask a tired mom or a working dad. But if you've been laboring to love someone so as to be all the more effective in sharing Jesus with them, be encouraged. That love and that effort, that's not wasted. That love and that effort, that's a mark of gospel success. Paul says that love is a big part of what it means to share Jesus well. If Paul had made demands and been cold and disagreeable, if he tried to ram it down the throats of the Thessalonians would have resented Jesus at best, I reckon. The visit would have been a waste of time. But instead, they encouraged them, invited them to discover Jesus. Paul and Silas wanted knowing Jesus to genuinely be a joy for the Thessalonians. So here's the first big reason Paul says the visit to Thessalonica wasn't a failure. They shared Jesus boldly, even in conflict. They shared Jesus honestly to please God. And they shared Jesus gently with genuine love. Now the second big reason that their visit wasn't a failure, wasn't a waste of time, was because of the way the Thessalonians heard about Jesus. And the key here is they heard the gospel not just as the words of Paul and Silas, but they heard the gospel as the word of God. Have a look at verse 13. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. This is like imagine getting a text message and assuming that your phone is trying to communicate with you. You know, your phone wants to have a relationship with you, get to know you. It's not your phone, is it? If you get a text message, it's your friend trying to communicate with you. I know that's a bit absurd, but Paul is really thankful the Thessalonians haven't made that mistake. The message of Jesus was shared by Paul and Silas, but the message was from God, and the Thessalonians heard it as what it really is, the word of God. And they valued it for what it really was, the word of God. They valued it so much, they were even willing to suffer for it. Have a look at verse 14. Paul says, "For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same thing from your countrymen as they did from the Jews." Now, this suffering, again, that Paul's talking about, this is what we read about in Acts 17. The Thessalonians suffered. Remember poor Jason had his house attacked and money taken from him? The Thessalonians had heard the gospel and they realized it's better to accept the word of God as the word of God and then suffer for it. Better that than to reject the word of God. And Paul shows us that by highlighting a contrast for us between the Thessalonians who accepted God's word on one hand, and on the other hand, the Jewish leaders who rejected God's word. So have a look at verse 14 again and notice the contrast. "You suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out." What the Jewish leaders did, this is what it looks like to reject God's word. And the big one, they killed Jesus. Jesus was God's word in the flesh. Jesus came with all the power, all the authority, and the words of God himself, and they killed him. They didn't hear the word of God for what it really is. They didn't accept Jesus as the word of God. So, of course, they killed the prophets too. The prophets were sent to speak God's words. No surprise, they chased Paul and Silas out of town. But the real disaster in all of this, the real tragedy in all of this, is by rejecting Jesus, they missed out on the forgiveness and rescue that Jesus offers. I want to pause here and just say, look, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, or maybe you would say you are a Christian, but you've never really accepted God's word as God's word. It's never really had any change, caused any change in your life. I really don't want you to miss out on God's word here. I'm not asking you to believe my words, but I'd love you to hear God's words, because Jesus and the forgiveness and the salvation, the rescue that Jesus offers, it is so good and you don't want to miss out on it. If you're not a Christian, can I encourage you, please investigate Jesus' words before dismissing them. And look, I'm happy to help you with that if you want. These Jewish leaders, they rejected Jesus, they rejected God's word, and so they missed out on forgiveness and salvation. Sadly, though, they did much more than just reject the word of God. They actually also intentionally got in the way of others hearing about Jesus. Have a look at verse 15 again. It says, "They killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out, and they displease God and oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at last." See, the Jewish leaders, they were actually actively stopping people from hearing the gospel. They're getting in the way of people being saved. No wonder Paul says they're piling up their own sins and wrath's coming upon them. They're standing in the way of God's mission to rescue and save people. Now, if the Thessalonians had rejected God's word like that, then for sure, Paul's visit to Thessalonica would have been in vain. But they didn't. They accepted God's word. They heard it as the words of God himself. So look, if you've ever found it hard going to hear and accept God's words, if it's an effort to live for Jesus, please be encouraged. Because it's not always easy to listen to Jesus. It's not always easy to take Jesus seriously in your life. It's not always easy to think hard about how Jesus challenges you and changes you. Sometimes it is a real struggle to push through the tiredness and the fog and switch on for church on Sunday. Sometimes it's really hard to read the Bible each day, make it a good habit, remember that this is God speaking to you. It might be very humbling to rely on God for your sense of self-worth. It might be very painful to ask for forgiveness and admit you're not as good as you thought you were. You might really feel the loss of being selfless and generous when people around you are getting ahead because they're not selfless or generous. And hey, you might even get laughed at for taking God's word seriously. It might make friendships or work relationships harder. Please be encouraged. None of that's wasted. Paul says one of the markers his visit to the Thessalonians wasn't in vain. They heard the gospel well. And look, if we put in extra effort to make sure that we aren't doing what those Jewish leaders did, you know, to make sure that we're not getting in the way of others hearing about Jesus. And in fact, if we put in extra effort to do the opposite, if we make an effort to help each other hear about Jesus well and help each other work out the implications of God's word in our lives, well, of course, that's not wasted effort, is it? The precious time that Paul had with these Thessalonians was not wasted. Paul's visit to Thessalonica, it was short. It was scary. When all was said and done, it looked a little underwhelming. But it wasn't in vain, Paul says. The time that we've got sharing the gospel and hearing the gospel, it might at times feel underwhelming. It might at times be scary. There's things that will happen that might make us wonder, is this worth it? Please don't despair. We do have time. We've got precious time with the people we work with family and friends, the people we play football with, board games with, school friends. 1 Thessalonians says, anytime we speak about Jesus, boldly, even when there's opposition, honestly, to please God, and gently, with real love, that is always worth it. And we do have time. We have precious time here with each other. Any time where we take seriously God's word in our lives, take seriously the good news of Jesus, any time we help each other hear the gospel well, that is always worth it. Please be encouraged. Be encouraged to love and value speaking and hearing the gospel well. If you're speaking the gospel, if you're hearing the gospel, whatever else might be going on, that's not gospel failure. It's gospel success. Let me pray. Father, thank you for Paul's successful visit to Thessalonica. Father, thanks that by your grace and mercy, it resulted in people hearing about Jesus and coming to know Jesus and find forgiveness and rescue. Father, please help us to notice when your gospel is spoken and heard well, and help us rejoice and know that that's never wasted. Amen.